coached some good teams too.
Yeah, yeah. He was an excellent coach. He later retired from coaching and stayed on kind of his head as transportation, I think, all the school buses for the district. But found an old story when he actually had retired, and I guess didn't find an obit. So I guess Mr. Barner, Coach Barner, still lives up in the Marmaduke area.
Well, you know, being from M. Bowdoin, we kind of have issues with Marmaduke. I may have told you this before, not that we hold
stole
grudges.
One of your players.
Stole Scott Harrell. One of the finest basketball players the state's ever produced.
I saw him play in high school.
He's a fine ball player. And junior year, he transferred to Marmaduke. Dad got a job, principal, superintendent. I don't know. We don't like to talk about it. But
Seems to be a long trend in Bowdoin of losing these people. You know, because I've heard you tell that George Kale baseball
well,
story.
That's exactly right.
Many years before,
and
obviously.
And that's the reason we don't have our rightful place in Arkansas history, because people don't know the truth.
As they say in M. Bowdoin, though, it is not paranoia if they actually are out to get you, right?
That's exactly right. That's right. Yeah. But Marmaduke has always had a real tradition.
Oh, great basketball tradition.
Great basketball tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's still a Marmaduke. It hadn't consolidated.
Oh, no. They're still going strong. Now, Wiener's gone, which had made a lot of news there. But they had a great tradition, and that's who I saw Marmaduke play in the finals. And it was kind of a shame these two teams from Northeast Arkansas were having to go to Southwest Arkansas to play on the Henderson State campus because I'm thinking, boy, if that game had been in Jonesboro, can you imagine what the crowd would have been?
That would have been. You know, I believe that Scott Harrell team, I think I'm right about that, made it to the finals of the overall championship. And they were a team, which is really unusual, but they got beat by Parkdale, the famous Parkdale team that was a B school who won their overall championship. It was two really good teams in a great tournament.
You know, and we were talking about some of those great names to come out of those small schools in Northeast Arkansas, and Ricky Medlock of Cave City. You may have seen, I had found that old Harry King column about him and quoted when he was the best free throw shooter at the University of Arkansas in the NCAA one year. And it went back to when he was a boy, he would make himself hit 10 consecutive free throws.
Yeah.
And if he missed, he would run a line drill and then start over again.
Well, I remember
10 consecutive.
He was younger than me, so when I was playing senior ball, he was playing junior ball.
Junior high.
But I remember we were getting ready for the Cave City game, and Coach McCurley said, "Now, boys, we're going to see the best basketball player in this part of the country tonight." And we thought, well, what are we going to do? He said, "Thank goodness he's a junior. He'll be playing for the junior high team."
Uh-huh.
He's like a ninth grader. Might have been an eighth grader.
Yeah, so he's not playing senior high.
Wasn't playing senior high, but he was a fantastic ball player. And I've thought he was the best ball player I ever saw up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they ever won the NEA, but I think they got in the final. And I believe they upset Jonesboro once and maybe Blytheville too, which was quite a big deal. But he played a game that we just had not seen before. He was a heck of a ball player and was a great ball player. I think he got the end of Eddie Sutton. Maybe Eddie Sutton's first year was his last, something like that. Mm-hmm. Now he's a doctor here in Little Rock.
Here in Little Rock,
an eye surgeon. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got to see a Cave City game while we were
did,
up there.
Yeah. Cave City Cavemen.
Yeah.
Or the Cave Women, actually.
It was the Cave Women.
Yeah.
We saw play. Yeah.
Yes.
We saw a girls' game. Now, is it true that in your retirement you're going to buy the Cave City courts?
So? Well, we're thinking about that. There may have to be – we have to reconsider the financing.
Yeah.
You reckon Simmons would be interested in a loan for that?
You never know.
You never know. Somebody
we'll
should do that.
We'll talk to you. Yeah. Yeah. But buildings! Yeah,
I mean,
great buildings.
I assume it's on the National Historic Register.
It is. I think it's got its own listing in the Encyclopedia of Arkansas.
It's a fascinating place, and
it's the old tourist court. Yeah. To clarify what we're talking about, the old tourist court that is connected to the cave that Cave City is named for.
Right. Right. And these are all made by that, you know, with the cobblestone, local stone,
with glass mixed in,
and all kinds of. Theological designs and crosses. And one old boy, my old friend Bob Bailey and I drove up there once, and we just parked, and this guy came out and started showing us all the iconic figures that the bricklayer, stonemason, had done at this house. Really fascinating. And then in my youth, the Cave City Cave was a place you went to.
You
that
could
was a place
pay
to
a
go.
Little bit and go down in the cave.
Have a
right?
picnic there. There was a park. And Cave City High School, I think, for years had their senior pictures taken there, and weddings would happen there. And Cave City used to, I assume still do, got their city water from the river there. And there was a big rock big rock in the cave, and they claimed that was the tomb of a giant Osage warrior. I'm not sure about that part, but
well, we'll play along with it for now. Anyway,
the story I always heard was that the water, the river in the cave, never changed.
Underwater,
no matter what was
stream,
happening, rains, floods, that never changed. So they never really knew, you know, where it was coming from.
You know those blind fish down there? I always liked those blind fish.
Salamanders.
When I was a kid. My mother and I love caves, and my dad would never go in when we would, you know, all the way from Mammoth Cave in Kentucky to Blanchard Caverns here in Arkansas. And I always wanted to go down in these caves, and my dad would always say, "You seen one cave? You seen them all." And he'd wait in the car. But he was patient, and he would allow my mom and I, if we were traveling somewhere.
I love caves.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it seems like there used to be more commercial caves,
yeah,
if you will,
I think you're right,
in the Ozarks than there are now. Because I can remember signs everywhere, roadside signs.
Yeah, everywhere.
See this cave, see that cave.
Well, probably OSHA made them too dangerous. We had some boys that I was in school with, the Holder brothers, and they were big cave guys. We would call them spelunkers now. They weren't quite that fancy, but they would explore all those caves out in the Flatwoods between Imboden and Smithville. And as they got older, they would play tricks on each other and other people. Say, "Hey, we're going to go explore old Duck Nest Cave." Well, they'd go out the day before and have a dummy in the bottom of it and have the guy crawl up, and he'd think he's crawling on a dead body, and everybody running and screaming. But Randy, there's more caves in that part of the country than people realize that aren't, you know, marked, and people don't know where they are. But there are a lot of caves up in those old limestone rocks.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if they still do or not. Lyon College, Arkansas College, when you were there, had a caving club. I know at one time when I was, you know, still representing them at Arkansas Independent Colleges and Universities.
Just recently, I think it was a class from ASU that got
lost, and they
lost
had to
overnight.
Go
Two guys from
it
Japan.
It was a news story.
Visiting students, and ended up spending 2 days underground somewhere around Batesville or Mountain Home or Mountain
View. There are all kinds of caves
somewhere
up in that limestone, as you said. Well, it was quite a day. Started at Lackey's, get day full of basketball, but we had to clear out.
Yeah.
Because even in the face of awful floods that were almost coming across US 49, we had to get to Brinkley because my old friend Gene DePriest was frying up squirrel just for us
supper.
That night.
Yeah. Well, we left about 5. We were going to leave 5:30, but tornadoes. I mean, it was dark and blowing and raining, and we still got soaked getting to the truck. But Rex, what is it, 60-something miles from Jonesboro to Brinkley?
But it took 2 hours.
2 hours to get there. I looked like my grandpa driving about 10 miles an hour, couldn't see, raining, debris flying around. The ditches were full. Now, I'll have to say, you didn't panic. You maintained. You didn't slow down, slow down. None of that.
No, of course, I couldn't
slow down. I wasn't going fast enough. But I think, okay, we made progress. Say, Brinkley, 57 miles. Lord. Then you started getting phone calls from Gene. Where are you?
Wonder where we were,
Everybody's getting tired.
Well, Gene's, of course, we've talked about it before. It's just an Arkansas classic. Gene took over for his brother, who was Sweet Pea. It used to be Sweet Pea's restaurant. Gene's operated it now for more than 20 years and never been closed today.
He says his wife died. Now, he said, "I was at the funeral, but so-and-so opened it for me." It's never closed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Now, we ate in the back room, which is a special place.
That's where you can eat the where friends gather.
Friends gather, yes.
Yeah, just for the wild game. Of course, you can't serve wild game out front. So
just big old mounds of fried squirrel.
Oh
my goodness.
And cream gravy.
And biscuits.
Oh,
and gravy.
Great biscuits.
It's fantastic. We just ate
they
like
were making
pigs.
Each other hungry. Sliced onions.
And watched ASU bowl game.
In the Cure Bowl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which was wonderful.
Yeah. But Gene is a very good, one of the best shots I've ever been around. And he said it was a slow season. He killed over 100 squirrels, but he said one fall he killed over 500
squirrels.
That's a lot of squirrels.
And that means, you know, they didn't like trap them. They shot every one of them, 500 squirrels, and then cleaned them.
Yeah, and then cleaned over 500 squirrels during the fall
season. That's a lot of squirrels.
Now, that's back when he was doing the game dinner every Sunday night.
Every Sunday, yeah.
And he said a lot of those old guys have unfortunately passed away now.
Well, we had a couple of guys wander in while we were there.
Oh, yeah.
This was a Saturday night, so yeah. People were out.
But it was that was a pure slice of the Arkansas yeah. Delta, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, his daughter gave us
yeah, tell them her line yeah, that she said. The camouflage
Jean jeans gave us camouflage ball cap that says Jean's Barbecue. And she came up to me and she says, "Nothing says redneck like a ball cap from Jean's Barbecue."
Exactly. A gimme cap, especially a camo gimme cap.
That's right.
So
and
we now both have
camo.
Camo
so we have that,
camps.
So we're yeah. official now.
Yeah, actually, my youngest son wanted mine. He's a sophomore at Wichita Baptist University, and I suspect Wichita kind of a preppy little private
well, yeah,
school,
sure.
you know, so I
yeah.
suspect he may have the only Jean's Barbecue cap at Wichita now,
may,
which
yeah.
I think is why he wanted it.
That's
yeah,
probably true,
different.
Yeah.
Like to be different at that age.
Well, they were busy that night, just yeah. people running around, and Gene wasn't. He was entertaining us, but everyone else there was. It looked like a full house.
Oh,
but
yeah.
it rained. It started raining about 3:30, and it rained the whole time we were there, the whole drive.
Just would not let up.
Almost all the way to Little Rock.
Now, my book, we'll get in a shameless ad again, Southern Fried, published by our friends here at the Butler Center, a collection of my columns from the Democrat Gazette. Had to take Gene one. Had to take my old duck hunting buddy, Wiley Meacham, one. But Wiley, who at age 85 still goes duck hunting every morning. So he goes to bed about 7 o'clock. So he was gone by the time we got there. He couldn't stay up.
Right. He called. Wiley wants to know, where are you? Barville.
But we also wanted to give an autographed copy. You're the blurbist, of course.
Yes,
your blurb's
of course.
On the back of the
right.
book. We wanted to give an autographed copy to former U.S. Congressman and former Pulaski County Sheriff T. Franklin Robinson, as John Robert Starr used to refer
right.
to him in the old Arkansas Democrat, Tommy Robinson. So we stopped by the liquor store. That's the formal name of the place.
Yeah, the liquor store.
The liquor store. And had a good visit with Tommy and Carolyn Robinson.
Yeah, had a good visit. He got a book.
Yes.
And comments that we probably can't repeat.
No, not at all.
Just to say they were funny.
Exactly. We won't go any further than that.
No, but not at all.
We got Squirrel and a visit with Tommy Robinson. In the same night.
That's a pretty good day.
Now, that's really Arkansas
yeah,
right there.
That is.
Yeah, if you can visit with Tommy Robinson and eat fried squirrel, watch high school basketball, buy tamales all in the same day.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's hard to beat.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cows. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried. And Paul Austin, Executive Director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cows.org/podcasts.
Join us on Friday, January 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. in the Butler Center Galleries for Second Friday Art Night and the very special opening of the exhibition, The American Dream Deferred, Japanese-American Incarceration in World War II, Arkansas. A combination of artwork, documents, and photography, the exhibition chronicles and explores the wartime incarceration of Japanese-Americans in Arkansas. The opening reception will feature live music by Das Loop and is free and open to the public. The exhibition was funded in part by a grant from the U.S. Department of the Interior, National Park Service, and the Japanese American Confinement Sites Grant Program. We hope to see you there.
Arkansas Sounds presents a special screening of the 40th anniversary edition of Martin Scorsese's iconic film, The Last Waltz, on Friday, January 27th at 7 p.m. Relive or experience for the first time the band's historic 1976 farewell concert in the state-of-the-art Cal's Ron Robinson Theater. Fans can rock out to performances not featured in the original film and celebrate a moment in history featuring two Arkansas music legends, Levon Helm and Ronnie Hawkins. Tickets are $5. To purchase tickets, please visit arkansassounds.org or the Butler Center Galleries.
Radio Cows is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotz, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.
Part of the country tonight. We thought, well, what are we going to do? He said, thank goodness he's a junior. He'll be playing for the junior high team. Uh-huh. Like a ninth grader. Might have been an eighth grader.
Yeah. So he's not playing senior high.
Wasn't playing senior high, but he was a fantastic ball player. And I thought he was the best ball player I ever saw up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they ever won the NEA, but I think they got in the final. And I believe they upset Jonesboro once and maybe Blytheville too, which was quite a big deal. But he played a game that we just had not seen before. He was a heck of a ball player and was a great ball player. I think he got the end of Eddie Sutton. Maybe Eddie Sutton's first year was his last, something like that. Mm-hmm. Now he's a doctor here in Little Rock.
Here in Little
an
Rock,
eye surgeon.
Yeah. And we got to see a Cave City game while
we
were
did,
up there.
Yeah. Cave City Cavemen.
Yeah.
Or the Cave Women, actually.
It was the Cave Women. Yeah. We saw play. Yeah. Yes. We saw a girls' game. Now, is it true that in your retirement you're going to buy the Cave City courts?
So. Well, we're thinking about that. There may have to be – we have to reconsider the financing.
Yeah.
You reckon Simmons would be interested in a loan for that?
You never know.
You never know. Somebody
we'll
should do that.
We'll talk to you. Yeah. Yeah. But –
those
oh,
are
what great buildings. Yeah. I mean, great buildings.
I assume it's on the National Historic Register.
It should be. Yeah. It is. I think it's got its own listing in the Encyclopedia of Arkansas.
It's a fascinating place. And
it's the old tourist court, to clarify what we're talking about, the old tourist court that is connected to the cave that Cave City is named for.
Right, right. And these are all made by that, you know, with the cobblestone, local stone.
With glass mixed in.
Glass mix and all kinds of theological designs and crosses. And one old boy, my old friend Bob Bailey and I drove up there once, and we just parked, and this guy came out and started showing us all the iconic figures that the bricklayer, stonemason, had done at this house. Really fascinating. And then in my youth, the Cave City Cave was a place you went to.
You could pay a little bit and go down in the cave.
Have a picnic there. There was a park. And Cave City High School, I think, for years had their senior pictures taken there, and weddings would happen there, and Cave City used to, I assume still do, got their city water from the river there, and there was a big rock in the cave, and they claimed that was the tomb of a giant Osage warrior. I'm not sure about that part, but
well, we'll play along with it for now. Anyway,
the story I always heard was that the river in the cave never changed.
No matter
what was happening, rains, floods, that never changed. So they never really knew, you know, where it was coming from.
You know those blind fish down there? I always like those blind fish.
Salamanders.
When I was a kid. My mother and I love caves, and my dad would never go in when we would, you know, all the way from Mammoth Cave in Kentucky to Blanchard Caverns here in Arkansas. And I always wanted to go down in these caves, and my dad would always say, "You seen one cave, you seen them all," and he'd wait in the car. But he was patient, and he would allow my mom and I, if we were traveling somewhere.
I love caves.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it seems like there used to be more commercial caves, if you will, in the Ozarks than there are now. Because I can remember signs everywhere, roadside signs.
Yeah, everywhere.
See this cave, see that cave.
Well, probably OSHA made them too dangerous. We had some boys that I was in school with, the Holder brothers, and they were big cave guys. We would call them spelunkers now. They weren't quite that fancy, but they would explore all those caves out in the Flatwoods between Imboden and Smithville. And as they got older, they would play tricks on each other and other people. Say, "Hey, we're going to go explore old Duck Nest Cave." Well, they'd go out the day before and have a dummy in the bottom of it and have the guy crawl up, and he'd think he's crawling on a dead body, and everybody running and screaming. But, Randy, there's more caves in that part of the country than people realize that aren't, you know, marked, and people don't know where they are. But there are a lot of caves up in those old limestone rocks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if they still do or not. Lyon College, Arkansas College, when you were there, had a caving club, I know, at one time when I was still representing them at Arkansas Independent Colleges and Universities.
Just recently, I think it was a class from ASU that got
lost and they
lost
had to go
overnight.
Yeah.
Two guys from Japan.
It was a news story.
Visiting students and ended up spending 2 days underground somewhere around Batesville or Mountain Home or
Mountain
View. Yeah,
there are all kinds of caves somewhere up in that limestone, as you said. Well, it was quite a day. Started at Lackey's, get day full of basketball, but we had to clear out.
Yeah.
Because even in the face of awful floods that were almost coming across U.S. 49, we had to get to Brinkley because my old friend Gene DePriest was frying up squirrel us
supper
that night.
Yeah. Well, we left about 5. We were going to leave 5:30, but tornadoes. I mean, it was dark and blowing and raining, and we still got soaked getting to the truck. But Rex, what is it, 60-something miles from Jonesboro to Brinkley?
Yeah, but it took 2 hours.
2 hours to get there. I looked like my grandpa driving about 10 miles an hour, couldn't see, raining, debris flying around. The ditches were full. Now, I'll have to say, you didn't panic. You maintained. You didn't slow down. None of that.
No,
of course,
I didn't scream at you.
I couldn't have slowed down. I wasn't going fast enough. But I think, okay, we made progress. Say, Brinkley, 57 miles. Lord. Then you started getting phone calls from Gene. Where are you?
I wonder where we were,
Everybody's getting tired.
Well, Gene's, of course, we've talked about it before, is just an Arkansas classic. Gene took over for his brother, who was Sweet Pea. It used to be Sweet Pea's restaurant. Gene's operated it now for more than 20 years and never been closed today.
He says his wife died. Now, he said, I was at the funeral, but so-and-so opened it for me. It's never closed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Now, we ate in the back room, which is a special place.
That's where you where friends gather.
Friends gather, yes.
Yeah, just for the wild game. Of course, you can't serve wild game out front. So
just big old mounds of fried squirrel. Oh my goodness.
And cream gravy.
And biscuits.
Oh,
and gravy.
Great biscuits. It's
fantastic. We just ate
they
like
were making
pigs.
Each other hungry. Sliced onions.
And watched
potatoes,
ASU bowl game.
In the Cure Bowl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which was wonderful.
Yeah. But Gene is a very good, one of the best shots I've ever been around. And he said it was a slow season. He killed over 100 squirrels. But he said one fall he killed over 500 squirrels,
yeah.
That's a lot of squirrels.
And that means, they didn't like trap them. They shot every one of them, 500 squirrels, and then cleaned them.
Yeah, and then cleaned over 500 squirrels during the fall season.
That's a lot of squirrels.
Now, that's back when he was doing the game dinner every Sunday night.
Every Sunday, yeah.
And he said a lot of those old guys have unfortunately passed away now. Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of guys wander in while we were there.
Oh, yeah.
This was a Saturday night, so people were out.
But that was a pure slice of the Arkansas Delta, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, his daughter gave us
tell them her line that she said. The camouflage
Gene gave us camouflage ball cap that says Gene's Barbecue. And she came up to me and she says, "Nothing says redneck like a ball cap from Gene's Barbecue."
Exactly. A gimme cap, especially a camo gimme cap.
That's right.
So
and
we now both have
camo
gimme
so we have that,
camps.
So we're official now.
Yeah, actually, my youngest son wanted mine. He's a sophomore at Wichita Baptist University, and I suspect Wichita kind of a preppy little private school, so I suspect he may have the only Gene's Barbecue cap at Wichita now, I think is why he wanted it.
That's probably true,
Like to be different at that age.
Well, they were busy that night, just people running around, and Gene wasn't. He was entertaining us, but everyone else there was. It looked like a full house. It rained. It started raining about 3:30, and it rained the whole time we were there, the whole drive.
Just would not let up.
Almost all the way to Little Rock.
Now, my book, we'll get in a shameless ad again, Southern Fried, published by our friends here at the Butler Center, a collection of my columns from the Democrat Gazette. Had to take Gene one. Had to take my old duck hunting buddy, Wiley Meacham, one. But Wiley, who at age 85 still goes duck hunting every morning. So he goes to bed about 7 o'clock. So he was gone
he left,
by the time we got
there.
He couldn't stay up.
Right. He called. Wiley wants to know, where are you? Barville.
We also wanted to give an autographed copy. You're the blurbist, of course.
Yes,
your blurb's
of course.
On the back of the book. We wanted to give an autographed copy to former U.S. Congressman and former Pulaski County Sheriff T. Franklin Robinson, as John Robert Starr used to refer to him in the old Arkansas Democrat, Tommy Robinson. So we stopped by the liquor store. That's the formal name of the place.
Yeah, the liquor store.
The liquor store. And had a good visit with Tommy and Carolyn Robinson.
Yeah, had a good visit. He got a book.
Yes.
And comments that we probably can't repeat.
No, not at all.
Just to say they were funny.
Exactly. We won't go any further than that.
No, but not at all.
We got Squirrel and a visit with Tommy Robinson in the same night.
That's a pretty good day.
Now, that's really Arkansas right
that
there.
That is.
Yeah, if you can visit with Tommy Robinson and eat fried squirrel, watch high school basketball, buy tamales all in the same day.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's hard to beat.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cals.org/podcasts.
Join us on Friday, January 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. in the Butler Center Galleries for Second Friday Art Night and the very special opening of the exhibition, The American Dream Deferred, Japanese-American Incarceration in World War II, Arkansas. A combination of artwork, documents, and photography, the exhibition chronicles and explores the wartime incarceration of Japanese Americans in Arkansas. The opening reception will feature live music by Das Loop and is free and open to the public. The exhibition was funded in part by a grant from the U.S. Department of the Interior, National Park Service, and the Japanese American Confinement Sites Grant Program. We hope to see you there.
Arkansas Sounds presents a special screening of the 40th anniversary edition of Martin Scorsese's iconic film, The Last Waltz, on Friday, January 27th at 7 p.m. Relive or experience for the first time the band's historic 1976 farewell concert in the state-of-the-art Cal's Ron Robinson Theater. Fans can rock out to performances not featured in the original film and celebrate a moment in history featuring two Arkansas music legends, Levon Helm and Ronnie Hawkins. Tickets are $5. To purchase tickets, please visit arkansasounds.org or the Butler Center Galleries.
Radio Cals is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Job and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotz, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.